South African rugby is on a solid financial footing. The Springboks are something of a cash cow right now. But we're not entirely secure just yet. Today, you are going to get a front row seat as I detail for you just how valuable the Bok brand is, how SARU is cashing in, and at the end, I'll tell you why the All Blacks are in danger of falling so far behind us, they might never catch up. So the Springboks are among the highest valued sports brands globally right now. Now there is a lot of road left in terms of taking full advantage, which is a great thing for us. What we don't want is the famous green and gold jersey to resemble a billboard like you see in the French top 14, for example. I get that national teams are not immune to economic vulnerabilities, but I think with a kit manufacturer over here, the chief sponsor across the chest, and a secondary sponsor on the back of the jersey, that's sufficient. At most, you can add a sleeve sponsor, but I'd prefer it if we can avoid that. Traditionally, broadcast revenue is where the largest income comes from. This graph is from Koshik Karan. Now, this is before the MTN sponsorship ended, so just bear that in mind. But broadcasting rights made up 731 million rand in revenue. Sponsorship, almost half of that, at 425 million rand. I mentioned MTN a second ago, and they picked up a bargain deal in 2017 for around 40 to 50 million rand per year. FNB is reported to be paying closer to 160 million rand now. But that's also what happens when a team goes from losing more than they win to winning two Rugby World Cups back to back. One of the drawbacks of success is that it can price potential sponsors out of the market. At 160 million rand per year for the jersey sponsorship, it's probably only really the banks, betting companies, and global multinationals that can get on board now. Frikkie's hardware store is not going to sponsor the Springboks. But you know what's not outside of budget? Signing up as one of my patrons. If you'd like to help me to do this channel full-time and get great benefits like Springbok merchandise, match day tickets, Zoom Q&As with me, or you'd like me to write an ebook for you on your favorite player, why not head on over to my Patreon page and sign up? It starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US, not Fijian. Apart from wanting to do this full-time, I would also love to go to Australia and cover the Rugby World Cup for you in 2027 with daily content from Down Under. So if you're keen to join my dream team and support me, the link is in the description area below. In advance, thank you for your support. Now, apart from the jersey sponsorship, there's also the matter of kit supplying. Nike is currently our kit supplier. And honestly, I hope they stay with us for a long time to come. I feel like Adidas fits with the All Blacks and Nike fits with us. To be sure, Nike is a premium brand and also a brand of aspiration. However, the business world is not a place of ideals. Look at this graph from Yahoo Finance, looking at Nike's share price history going back to the beginning, more or less, of COVID. There was a peak there in late 2021, but the price has dropped around half since then. That could influence their decision on whether or not to renew with us in 2 years when the current deal ends. Might Adidas hop on board the Springbok train in the future, I wonder? I think I need to add in that SARU has not yet abandoned the private equity partner plan. You'll remember that we were in talks with an American consortium, Ackerley Sports Group, or ASG. I know some of you have not watched all of my videos on that topic, so let me quickly clarify. I am in favor of a private equity deal, and I've said as much at the time. The problem is that for whatever reason, not all the details were shared with us. Just cloak and dagger, to be quite frank. because as details slowly began to be revealed, and with each additional piece of information, the detail looked a bad one for us, it has to be said. And at that point, I also said as much. So yes, I am in favor of a private equity deal, but it must be one that favors all parties. ASG actually wanted to ring-fence commercial and sponsorship rights in special purpose vehicles. Rian Oberholzer was the sole director of the Saru vehicle. Is that not something that you find suspicious? Is it any wonder why MTN might not have been keen to continue? Was FNB given assurances? We don't know this as yet. And there's a chance we might never know. So we're only speculating. What we do know is that Saru is cashing in when it comes to the Springboks, and rightly so. Merchandise, match tickets, etc. For example, a ticket to the Cape Town match against the Barbarians will set you back somewhere around 3,000 Rand. Okay, some tickets are considerably cheaper, but they wouldn't be charging these prices if they didn't think people would pay it. And I think one of the real reasons Saru has opted not to bid for the Rugby World Cup is because they seem to think or see this as a period of consolidating, but also cashing in while the iron is hot. World Rugby expects certain guarantees when a country bids. That is said to be around 300 million rand. Platterkloof likely feels that's too high, which is a shame because I think it would be wonderful to host the Rugby World Cup again in our country. It's been too long. But given how we were burned in 2011, 2015, 2019, and again 2023, I can see why they're not going for it. In 2011, the Old Boys Club conspired against us, ditto 15 and 19. And then perhaps the ultimate disgrace in 23, when World Rugby's own council recommended South Africa as the best host, before World Rugby themselves promptly voted France as the host nation. But perhaps the best part of all of this is that we have a commercial advantage over the All Blacks. For too long, New Zealand and Australia leached off of us. South Africa brought the lion's share of the TV viewership to Super Rugby and the Tri Nations, or Rugby Championship later. Those two countries were like parasites sucking our blood, living off of our TV money. Now that we are out of Super Rugby, they have to rely on their own TV audiences, which, as you can imagine, is minuscule compared to our own. In summary, they have less money than they used to have, thanks to us playing in the URC. To compound their problems, their main sponsor, we're talking about New Zealand now, INEOS, recently ended their association with the team. It means New Zealand rugby is left with a big black hole. Their private equity deal hasn't worked out too well either. And that is exactly why we should take our time in selecting the right partner that will benefit us as well as the investors. The other area where we are very clever is selecting overseas-based players. Speaking solely from a monetary perspective, it's the best possible deal for Saru. A French or Japanese club is paying our player's salary, and then we get to still use him for the Springboks. Plus, the player is earning 4, 5, 6x what he would have been earning in South Africa. Win-win. But what do you think? Let me know in the comment section down below. And don't forget to sign up for my Patreon. The link is in the description area below. See you next time.